Okay, recording.
Okay. Hello.
Hello. We are sitting at the campus of ECU, and we're talking with Adelina Larson. And maybe you can take it from here, Adelina. What are you busy with?
I'm busy at the moment working here at WAPA as a lecturer, teaching movement, dance, movement, improvisation, and floor work. And I'm making a work on the first year students.
Oh, yeah.
So this week, and then we have a break, and then next week we're working intensely on building a little show together.
Cool.
Yeah, it's great. The kids are nice.
Well, the last work of yours I saw was in Canberra last year. That was just the quarter falling over. So I wonder, if you wanted to. I'm really interested to see what you, how you are with the memory of that work. Now that it's many months later, and we're in a different city, and all the collaborators that you had are not around you, and.
Yeah, I was talking to Rhiannon Newton about this yesterday, actually. It kind of feels like I don't know what happened. You know, we were in a creative development and you're working towards the show, and then it's happening and then it's over very quickly. It kind of feels like we were right in the thick of this...
creative genius.
Sounds beautiful. Fog, I would call it. Fog of beautiful creative juice, if you want. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely have been thinking about how I feel towards that, and you know, I don't want to recreate. I want to build on whatever was made, and.
But do you think you can do that with other people?
That's exactly what I've been thinking about. I mean, we did a creative development before making the work, and that creative development was essential, really. I mean, to get into the... Because it was a research. I mean, it started off as a research, more scores of improvisation and focuses on improvisation and finding a vocabulary, finding a methodology that was sort of how it started, and
creating
then
a world. It seemed like you created a world as well.
Yeah It was more like that, or trying to, for, because I did this research on my own in the studio, right?
Was that many years ago?
Yeah, I mean, this has been
book. There was a book at the time you were reading.
Oh, many books and many many notebooks that
Do
have been
find
lost
it, though, just endlessly difficult to take it, if your research starts in spoken or written language, to then take it to physical language? Or I guess you're doing simultaneous research physically.
Yeah, it's been more like that. I think it's been more an interest, and then movement research, and then finding interesting readings, and then going, yeah, kind of simultaneously, back and forth, if you want. Mm-hmm. So vocabulary of a score, for instance, was found from an interest in movement, and then going into reading and finding, for instance, somatic delusion as a, you know, this state of mind-body confusion. And so reading about that, then the score, we started calling somatic delusion, and then that had different focuses within that.
There's a quote, I think it's by Martin Luther King Jr. He was talking about how he's accused of being maladjusted to society, and he was making the point that he sees so much injustice that he would never want to be well adjusted to the current state of things. And it just, you reminded me of it when you were talking about somatic delusion, and that we, the world we create and the world we live in, and then how that those worlds interact with other people's worlds, and being well adjusted, and perhaps, you know, that phase that I think still a little bit gone through, but it was about that the artist somehow has to be slightly maladjusted to the society in which they live so that they can make something that is a response to it rather than just an acceptance of it or something. But yeah, if you're maladjusted, I guess you also suffer quite a lot of conflict.
Yeah, if you keep trying to fit in, you know,
yeah, if you don't just roll with it. So does that mean somatic delusion now lives in your body?
I've kind of... it's interesting, right? Because you get into this spiral, you know, and I felt like I was in that spiral for a really long time. And now moving here and teaching technique and all of that, I sort of... Maybe that's why I feel it like a fog, actually. I sort of... It's kind of a memory, sort of vague memory that I really want to... I really want to go back to that way of working with other people. I have thought about it. So where we were starting talking was that I was doing that kind of work solo in the studio, and then I wanted to see if I could, share that information with the guys, Emilia McQueen, Janine, Prost, beautiful, Alison Plevy, Kelly Benforti. And it worked beautifully. I mean, it took time, but we all landed on something. And so I know that working with them again will only, become thicker and wider. And but it would be very interesting to see how it would work with other people here.
Yeah, because do you feel like people, when they train to be a dancer... I just did inverted commas for the people listening. when they train to be a dancer, do they train to be able to do, to enter what, like to land where you're talking about that you as you and your group landed? Or do you have to then train whoever you get in again?
Yeah, I think, I don't know because I haven't done it yet, but the guys that I did work with, we had a lot of... we built this together, like we had a lot of discussions and conversations and refining and defining and... because there's a lot of how you perceive or how you understand a word or how to activate whatever you're talking about, whatever focus or score or... There's so many different interpretations of it, and so there was a lot of talking and trying and doing and arguing and debating and it's not that simple to just go, yep, this is it, and go. I don't think and I think that's why maybe, I don't know, people that came to see the work felt they had no understanding of how they could be so in tune. Like what triggered what.
Yeah.
They were really like this one one big brain shared in four bodies.
But it also felt like there was... I felt when I watched it that I could see somebody's will, like your will. I saw your will in the piece or in the crafting of then the world or the experience, and so they were an organism that were hearing cues that I didn't understand or something, but maybe that's just a level of sophistication. It felt very sophisticated and what did it feel like? Can't think of the word.
Nice. But Matt's eyes were flickering and looking around, and he held his breath, and he was tapping the pen in the grass.
A lot. It felt, I think because the cues were hidden, it felt very sophisticated, but also because things were alluded to before they manifested, it felt like, and like any brilliant song, the big change in the music or the key change or the drop of the bass or whatever, the things leading up to that make you desire that thing before you know even what it's going to be and what's going to happen. It felt like this, but it didn't seem, say, as gross or as crass as like a beat that gets faster and then gets faster and then gets faster and then explodes. Because
mm-hmm.
I would say that is the opposite of being sophisticated. Mm. I'd say that's very obvious. It seemed not obvious.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was very... it had manifested. Yeah, it's what you said, it landed. But, so what is... Where does that leave you? Do you feel like if you were to start again, you would be starting again?
Maybe we'll just... I just want to see what other shape or understanding it can take.
Yeah. For the audience or for the...
For all of us, actually. For me as well, yeah. But I know it was a lot of work.
Mm.
It was a lot of work for everyone, you know, all of the dancers and composer and Sarah and video. And
so how did you, like... So that when you talk about it was a lot of work, I imagine that means that ultimately it was a lot of feeling frustrated.
Like, and there was lost.
Or like on the way to something.
It was a lot of trying to clarify so everyone was on the same page.
Mm.
Because, you know, each individual was going into their...
Somatic delusion.
And so, you know, and then what?
Yeah.
And so we really had to know that we were working from the same score that was understood in the absolute same way.
Mm.
And then it could take any form it wanted. But that in itself was, you know, the focus, the vocabulary had to be refined all the time. So it's like, yeah, let's go and improvise. Okay, come back. Okay, well, I thought, well... this means that as well. Well, does it? And no, that kind of... anyway, I thought it was really great. It was really nice to be able to take time to do that and not just go, here's the score, let's play, right, let's use it, go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you get to that point where you felt like it might have been easier just to set steps?
Well, that was the second development ended up being more like that. So, I was in a conflict in the first creative development because I hoped for all of us to stay improvising.
Yeah.
So we actually stayed within that imaginary space, sharing that with people watching. It was just very hard to create a piece then, you know, like a sort of a shared space. It became very open, but then again, you know, you're asking to do that in 3 weeks. It's too hard. I think you need more time. I don't know, but 3 weeks is not 3 weeks is nothing. Anyway, so what ended up happening for the second development was we did exactly the same process, but we just decided what movement we were going to use.
Mm.
And that movement didn't become an empty shell movement, you know, like it was very much you had to stay within that state of mind whilst you were doing that movement. It sounds very easy, but...
Well, it just sounds like it's easy to understand in words, and much harder to understand when you do it.
Mm.
That's my impression. So then what do you do now that you're making your work on the first years?
I'm getting to know them as I'm working with them, so that's nice. What are we looking at? Kind of the same, not the same thing, but I'm interested in the irrational and the nonsensical and the and the freezing transition. So the in-between, the gap, the... Yeah. that. and you know, like just looking at the logical, the structure, the...
Do you think that there's something kind of... Like there's an oxymoron in making something that is sensory that is nonsensical?
What's oxymoron?
It's when they have their words that are next to each other that are the opposite.
Mm.
I can't think of one right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But so, like, maybe you could make a piece, a dance piece that is irrational, but it would have sense.
Yeah.
And you shape it through your sense of it, as you sense it by watching it or doing it, and the dancers have a sense of it by doing it, and that maybe it's impossible to make something that has no sense.
Yeah. I agree. I think what I'm trying to do with the first year... a lot of them have never done improvisation before.
Yeah.
A lot of them, you know, they're young, so they come from dance studios or whatever that, you know, we talk about alignment, we talk about unison, we talk about canon, but what about all the other stuff that it's like, you know,
the in between the
yeah,
signposts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 But what, okay, but what is exciting you about that?
I feel much more stimulated.
Yeah.
I am a bit obsessed by, you know, dreams, everything. I know this, but it's sort of... It's becoming clearer and clearer to me that just irrational dreams is really intriguing. I find it intriguing. And daydreaming, I find intriguing. Just art, you know, surreal art, I find intriguing. And so when I see dancers just do the vocabulary, you know, of, you know, the trained dancer, when I see that, I just want to go against it as much as I can, so they can experience it, you know, like, so they can, I don't know.
And what happens when they know, like, when you know what it is and when they know what it is and they're good at it?
Then they have a much broader broader playground.
Yeah. And then what, then you make work? And then people come and watch it, and then what do they get?
I don't know what they get.
No. Me neither. I think that's all right. To go after something without knowing what it is.
Yeah, I like seeing things unfold. Yeah, unfold, not knowing what it is yet. Mm.
Mm.
Somehow it feels. Yeah.
What? How does it feel?
Logic, I was gonna say.
Somehow it feels logical. Yeah. Yeah. To start
it's like a David Lynch movie. Nothing makes sense. It's just everything is just unfolding, and there's weird meetings of people, scenarios, or. But why do people like these movies? Why do they feel somehow drawn or connected to it? You know.
Because it.
He doesn't work off like, okay, this is the narrative, which is a weird narrative. He just lets things unfold and,
yeah,
you know, very intuitive and and I like working like, I would like working like that too. Doesn't mean that I don't get nervous about where the hell is this going.
Do you think that working from your intuition, letting something be shaped by your intuition, then when it's seen or read or experienced... That is, it is experienced by a viewer's intuition?
Whereas if you made something from your rationale, it would be experienced by a viewer's rationale.
Oh, no, that I can't say, but no, I can't know that. But obviously, I think everyone has an intuitive response or an intuitive understanding. I mean, but I don't know. That's the way No Play was created, you know, in the same fashion of...
Mm.
And somehow people connect to it. I don't know why. I don't want to...
lock it down.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't need to know, I feel, sometimes. You know?
Maybe you don't need to know in language. You know.
Much
you
better.
You already
again.
Know.
Yeah, yeah. But
much you don't
better.
Need to be able to say it in whatever language you were born into the world to speak to other people or write down on a piece of paper. You can know it without that, beyond that, outside of that.
Mm. Also because I'm not good at it. I wasn't good
no,
at it.
No, I think that's right. Bullshit.
I think, yeah.
I don't think
it's that's not like about. I don't know what I'm doing, you know, and that's why I'm trusting that it's okay to work. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean. Like, of course... Yeah. Of course I don't know what I'm doing. But not like it still has an anchor.
What where does the validation come from to keep doing? You know?
Yeah.
My comfort comes from that I think all validation is based on delusion. And so no matter how valid you feel in your work or your job or your efforts or your commitment, it's all based on some kind of delusion. So you might as well pick the thing that you're going to be deluded about. That's what I believe now when I just said it. But a lot of people want more than that. Or they play by someone else's rules about what validation is.
It's okay. Give me the chance to do something. Yeah.
Just gonna check the time. 12:30.
12:30.
Yeah.
Okay. Half an hour.
It's alright. Maybe that's enough for now. We can talk more later.
Yeah.
What were you saying, sorry?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Maybe after rehearsal.